Well, hello, everybody. This is Patricia Corey. I'm back with Beyond the Matrix, the radio program that it doesn't just invite you, it dares you to think outside the box of convention. And that's what we do. And because of you insisting that the show remain on, I have come back. And I am dedicated more than ever to fulfilling that mission. And that is to keep the dialogue alive, to keep bringing forth experts in their field to help us all get a grip on what is coming and what we're doing and what has come before and how this is really the moment. I like to call it show and tell time, when we are facing some of the most outrageously engaging experiences possibly in the entire human history. So to help me accomplish that goal today, I have a really remarkable person. I'm sure many of you know who he is. His name is, I hope I don't mispronounce this, Alfred Weber. I'm going to say Weber. He'll probably say, no, it's Weber, because his middle name is Labremont. But at any rate, you probably know him as Albert Weber. He is a remarkable teacher, author of Exopolitics, Politics, Government, and Law in the Universe, and that is a book that founded the field of exopolitics, which he is known for, and that would be the science of relations among intelligent civilizations in the multiverse. That would be assuming that the human race is also intelligent, which at times I have to wonder about in seeing what we're doing to our environment. But okay, I won't get political. Let me move on. Exopolitics then is also involved in a field that I'm very interested in, which is the study of human contact with a civilization on Mars. You'll remember I had Dr. Andrew Basiago some time ago talking about underground civilization in Mars, and I'm certainly going to ask Alfred about that today. He's a journalist. He's a chairman of the Mars Anomaly Research Society, which is spearheading the international effort to research, disclose, and educate the public about life on Mars. He has proposed a truth amnesty process to facilitate the release of the advanced extraterrestrial-derived new energy technologies that can be used to create a sustainable, peaceful space-age society. And I mean, he's too much. He's a graduate of Yale University and Yale Law School in international law, and was a Fulbright scholar in international economic integration in Uruguay. He has taught economics at Yale University and constitutional law at the University of Texas. And with all these qualifications, he is a dedicated ufologist, if that's the right word, and investigator into, it can only mean the true essence of the human journey as we move ever forward toward encounter. So, his site is exopolitics.com, and I could read on and read on and read on about all of his qualifications, but I don't want to waste our time, precious time with him. So let me welcome you, Alfred. Welcome to the show.
Wow. You know, you have increased my own faith in myself. I mean, that, you know, what can I say?
Well, you have the chutzpah and the qualifications, and it's, you know, I was just talking to my brother on the phone, and we have a running joke going on between us of him having to deal with this slightly nutty sister who has been a contactee for so many years. And I said, well, be sure to tune into my show, because I've got a person who can't be taken as a woo-woo man. With all of his qualifications, here's a person who can join me in merging science and spirit on some of the most exciting aspects of what we're living at this moment. So, thank you for being who you are and the great work that you've brought forward.
Well, so you know, just to take that particular segue, which I think is an important one in this field, my own transition from what I would call the the ruling matrix occurred in early 1973. At the end of 1972, I was general counsel and assistant administrator of the New York City Environmental Protection Administration, and I was a crusading environmental lawyer in New York, you know, and I was, I had the, you know, de rigueur, shoulder-length hair, long mustache, and I, you know, I had six or seven lawyers working for me who were, wanted to change the world also, and we were in the process of what was the beginnings of the environmental movement at that time. And at the beginning of 1973, I met a professor of experimental psychology at Rutgers University who was an expert in also in parapsychology and in extraterrestrial research. So I had reached that point in my career, sort of, you know, a blue chip education and a fast track sort of career to that point, inside the canon, inside the sort of scientific canon, which is that all intelligent life ends at Earth's geostationary orbit. And I met him on January 7th, 1973, and you know, within a week, my entire matrix changed, and on the basis of very rigorous science. So by the by June of 1973, I had actually written my first book, which incorporated extraterrestrials. In that, I put forth a new theory. It was the context communication theory of extraterrestrial communication, and that is that most UFO encounters can be seen as symbolic communications, almost like dreams, in the same sense that dreams are communications, well, those dreams that are not part of dream warfare, where HARP and other mechanisms invade your dreams and try to program you and program your subconscious mind, but normal dreams, Freudian dreams, or Jungian dreams, are communications by your subconscious mind to your conscious mind, or and of, you know, deep communications that are going on within your own psyche. And in the same sense, most UFO encounters, if you examine them, are in fact communications by a higher intelligence form. Those UFO encounters that are genuine and aren't sort of manufactured blue beam type things can be seen as communications from a higher intelligence source. And in the same way that dreams can be interpreted by a dream dictionary, and there are dream dictionaries that are available, you know, house means mind, and there are all these kind of standard definitional things. I actually went back in the late 90s and obtained a degree as a psychotherapist because as a lawyer, you learn how to take people apart, and as a psychotherapist, you learn how to put people back together. And I thought it was really important, you know, at least to begin it, to get into that aspect. And also because I found that in terms of the information war, especially over the last 10 years, the information war, and you kind of alluded to this in your comment at the beginning of the program, there's a tremendous amount of ad hominem attacks. And one of the memes that the dark forces who are sort of against, you know, ET disclosure and against sort of life on the planet, life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, just saying it's, oh, Alfred Lamoureux Weber is crazy. So I went back and got a degree as a psychotherapist. So I could say, no, I'm a graduate psychotherapist. You know what I'm saying?
And, well, listen, and, let me just interject a question here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What?
Yeah. I was saying, had you concluded, because I felt like I was interrupting you.
No, I was kind of just riffing off of your introduction because of the statement that you made about that person who's in that particular plight. And this is what happens when information from another dimension, which is like another energy octave or another frequency or an adjacent reality, tries to get communicated to this reality in which the dominant matrix is reactionary and has been so made intentionally by regulatory and administrative means, like the 1953 Robertson panel findings, which said that any mention of extraterrestrials or UFOs had to be ridiculed. So that's the rules of the game that we've been living on under this planet for the last 50, almost 60 years. And so any person like the person that you mentioned at the beginning of the show that is bringing in information from an adjacent dimension automatically gets ridiculed, not because of the validity of the information, but rather because the forces that are attempting now more and more unsuccessfully to control the reality of this dimension have put blockers in place for the population here. It's almost like the book Flatlanders, where everybody was in a two-dimensional reality.
Right.
You know, people were running around in triangles and squares. And if you said that there was such a thing as a cube or height, it was off with your head, right? And that's sort of the situation that has existed on this planet for the last 60 years, and it's by the intention of the dark forces, that is the Illuminati, these kind of bloodlines, and they number themselves. There are about 33 inside families that run the things and founded the things called the CIA and the Federal Reserve and all these things that control us. And they run the regime that says there's only squares and triangles, there aren't any cubes. There's only the third dimension, and there's no adjacent dimensions. And that's it. And anybody who says that there are, well, it's off with their head. Literally.
Right, but I'd like to interject
here
that
they are off their head. They are off their head.
Let me interject that fortunately science and spirit are merging now, and we've got people like Michio Kaku talking openly about the many levels and dimensions, and it seems to me that it makes sense that
Now you have just mentioned a scientist.
Let me just finish my thought.
Who we are increasingly outing as a disinformationist.
Sorry?
Okay. You have just mentioned a scientist that we are increasingly outing in the truth movement as a disinformationist.
Yeah, we have to all, you know.
No, I'm not going to tread lightly on this one. I'm not going to tread lightly on this one. It's 2011, and we are now coming out with the scientific information that time travel and teleportation, the U.S. government has been doing time travel and teleportation for 40 years, and I've got three independent whistleblowers, actually four, who've testified to such. I've published those interviews, and I have a new book coming out this year called Dimensions, The Dimensional Ecology of the Multiverse. And this is now all out in the open. And Michio Kaku is out there saying, oh, time travel is theoretically impossible. Well, he is putting out misinformation, because not only is teleportation and time travel possible, that's how they run the secret Mars base. That's how they get back and forth to the secret Mars base, which has been operational since at least 1975. I've talked to people who were permanently stationed there from 1976 to 1996, and they get back and forth on teleportation corridors, and the way that it's done secretly is that it's hidden in time travel niches. That is, they're teleported out there in 1976 Earth time, they spend there until 1996 Mars time, and then they're teleported back to the very day and year that they left. So,
Are you talking about Andrew Basiago?
No, I'm talking about Michael Relf, who's written two books about his 20 years on the Mars on the Mars base. Michael Relf and Andrew Basiago and Arthur Neumann are all independent whistleblowers who have been on the U.S. Mars base, and they all have a variety of different information, all of which is congruent. Michael Relf wrote two books on his 20 years on the U.S. Mars base. What Michio Kaku is doing is he's a misinformationist at this time, and it's time that people blow the whistle on him and stop listening to him as an expert, because he's not an expert. He's putting out false information, which is slowing down the truth movement. So I'm calling him out on this program today, and you can go to my Examiner articles. They're all at exopolitics.com, and my book will be out in the first part of 2011. I'll be happy to send you a review copy, and it'll be all right there.
All right. Well, I have an important question for you. This is where I really wanted to start, which is some of the news that you've brought forward and that we've received. I receive your newsletter, so I get your releases.
Great.
About Stanley Fullam, who was a NORAD officer who divulged some pretty interesting information and just recently passed away. And we know that he was speaking out because he knew that he was going, and he was finally ready to release this information. He also, a contactee, talking about the Council of Eight. And I think that's pretty amazing that we've got, having been a person that's brought forward this information from without any of that military or technological background, to then hear that somebody that's worked at that level of government, he's also openly talking about contact from beings from other dimensions. And, of course, I'm very excited about the fact that it included Syrians on the Council of Eight. So since you had the pleasure of talking to this man, can you give us some insights into the information that he predicted and the information that he shared with you about what's coming down?
Sure. Well, first of all, let me put on my hat as an exopolitician, which is, it's like an anthropologist of multidimensional reality. And so the reality that Stan Fullam shares, I take that as, quote, a working hypothesis, end of quote. In other words, I don't take that as an absolute. It's a working hypothesis to be verified by empirical data, right? Because in his last communication before he died, and I've been working closely with Stan and the associates around Stan now, and so this is with complete respect to him, but we're already at the end of the first week of January, and there's been no UFO flap in Russia.
He said it would come before the second week, right?
Okay, but I'm saying that if it does not come, which may well be the case, that does not invalidate the entire picture, because this information is in the category of working hypothesis. So you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater just because there is, you know, one bit of information that is not validated. That's the point I'm trying to get across publicly, okay? Because if that last prediction doesn't happen, there's going to be a whole slew of negative projections onto the information by everyone within the UFO community, everyone within the aviary who are, you know, paid or, you know, back-scratching disinformants, and everyone within the skeptical public, right? So it's our job to carry this forward as a scientist, from a scientific perspective, that is to put this information within a scientific perspective. And so that's why I put it within the context of a working hypothesis, not a belief.
Okay, but give us some of the, please share with the audience some of this information that he brings forward, particularly the discussion
of having some support. But I'm not resisting your question. I'm just answering it in the way that I would like to as an academician, okay?
Right.
For specific strategic purposes, because I want to put the link of this interview on my site and point to people to it and say, this is how I answered this question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that this is like being on the stand in the courtroom of public opinion. As a person who promoted the Regional Galactic Governance Council, okay, and what happened when they didn't show up. And so I understood that as a calculated risk, but I did so within the context of an operating hypothesis. Now, what's most important to me is that there was a second. There is a second contactee of the Regional Galactic Governance Council, who is a NATO intelligence officer with whom I'm in frequent contact as well, and who now the newspaper Stars and Stripes, which is the official newspaper of the U.S. Armed Forces, is in contact with as well. And that gentleman was contacted by the Regional Galactic Governance Council on November 9th, 2010, and told that on November 24th, 2010, there would be another showing of the Galactic Council's interdimensional ships over New York, over Manhattan. And in fact, that occurred, and those ships were documented, and if you go to exopolitics.com, you can see the article and all of the documentation. And he was told essentially the same story that Stanley Fullen was told. And the story is this. And again, this is a working hypothesis. We have to take all of this with a grain of salt, because it may be partial disinformation. It may not be true.
Right.
What they are saying is this, that this council oversees inhabited planets, in our sector of the galaxy. And they've done so for about a million years or so. And that they monitor our ecology and our environment. And that they have reached a judgment that our ecology is now on the verge of collapse. And that is beyond the ability of human technology to reverse it.
Yes, so I agree with
therefore, you. So therefore, they had a meeting at which they debated serious questions of setting aside the law of non-intervention. Because normally in these cases, they allow planets like ours with human species that can't get it together to collapse. And, you know, that planet collapses, and that swarm of souls has got to go someplace and start over and find another planet to become dinosaurs first and then become humans and do the whole 5 billion-year story all over again. And that they decided to set the law of non-intervention aside and to intervene in our planet to use advanced extraterrestrial ecology to cleanse advanced extraterrestrial technology to cleanse the ecology of this planet, and that they have a schedule. The schedule is roughly that over the next 3 or 4 years, there would be a transition of in human society, and there would be a collapse of the old order and kind of a new order emerging. All of the kind of Illuminati farm school of leaders that we have now, who are basically all kind of CIA operatives worldwide or, you know, Illuminati operatives, would be gone. A new crop of leaders comes in around 2014 or 2015. They are looking to land. The Pleiadians, who look most like us, would make a speech in the General Assembly of the UN, and they would start with a basic cleansing of the planet. And what they told the NATO Spanish intelligence officer is very much along these lines, except they told him that they have already started intervening to reverse the effects of chemtrails, because chemtrails are designed to interfere with the communication of the crown chakra mechanism so that human souls cannot receive the waves of enlightened unity consciousness that are coming out from the singularity or interdimensional portal at the core of our universe. That's how dastardly the dark forces are on this planet.
Yeah.
So
synchronistic,
you know,
on
that is what's going on. And our function is the truth.
I need to interject a question that I tried to ask you earlier, because not everyone will know who are this Galactic Council and how did they make contact with these two top officials. Can you elaborate that?
Yeah.
So everybody's on the same
sure.
page.
Now, again, this is a working hypothesis.
Yes, that's a foregone conclusion that we're not saying that this is fact.
Yeah. So, so I don't take it as, because Stan Fulham says that there are 8 of them and they're these specifics, that's entirely true. I take it as a working hypothesis, because Stan Fulham's book is actually filled with error. He says that there are no beings on Mars, where there is an intelligent civilization under the surface of Mars, and we know from the rover photographs that there are humanoids and a whole variety of species of animals and structures on the surface of Mars. So that is entirely wrong. And the way that we've dealt with that is that we've said that once you get deeply into exopolitics and the study of contactees, you discover that extraterrestrial contactees are often given erroneous information in order to protect them. They don't give them information that will put them in danger in certain ways, even though the evidence is now in that Stan Fulham was most probably assassinated by the dark forces who accelerated his pancreatic cancer so that I interviewed him and he was rigorously healthy, you know, and get a 90-minute interview at the end of October, and by the beginning of December, he couldn't even speak for 1 minute because his pancreatic cancer had accelerated so much. And they can do that with frequency weapons at which they manipulate the frequency of the disease. So he evidently, and that was done in order to silence him. So what Stan Fulham says is that there's a regional galactic governance council. It's about eight or so, and I'm going to say so, civilizations, including the Alpha Centaurians, the Pleiadians, the Sirians, the Butes Greys, and others. Others that we don't know much about. Some of them we can't even find on the current astronomical charts. So they're off the radar of current astronomy. Does that mean that this is disinformation or not? We don't know. They give out...
Well, are they extra-dimensional beings?
No, it's like they give out a name, you know, like you can find the Butes constellation, but you can't find the names of some of the constellations that are given out in current earthly astronomy. So is that disinformation or not? We don't know. Because
what kind of content were they making? Was this extra dimensional messages or were they
all of these contacts are interdimensional contacts. Okay. According to Stan, the way Stan makes the contact is that there's a man who's a channel. And for 10 years, this channel channeled what's called the Transcenders. And the Transcenders describe themselves as a community of about 40,000 advanced souls who travel around the universe giving useful information. So they educated Stan about the council and the council's plans. So Stan's information is through a channel, through a medium, from interdimensional beings identifying themselves as the Transcenders, advanced souls, about the existence of the Galactic Council. What makes it valid and what made people stand up and pay attention, as opposed to all of the other channelings that are out there, is that they said on October 13th, 2010, the council ships are going to appear over New York as a sign that this information is correct. And indeed, they appeared there. Okay? So then,
right. Let me interject actually, something here, and I'm going to play the devil's advocate, and it doesn't mean it's what I believe. But
now,
this man
who does
was
the devil's advocate
former,
work for it? That, but as a lawyer, when somebody says that phrase, I always say, "Remember, who does the devil's advocate work for?"
All right. Well, let's take the ouch out of the phrase, and let's take the essence of the meaning. And what I want to ask you is that there would be the skeptic, and I am not a skeptic, but just for the skeptics that are listening, that would say, well, yeah, but on the other hand, how can we know that this man who was a NORAD official, former NORAD official, wasn't in on some kind of a hoax? And that's why he knew it happened.
That's why That's why I went to the trouble of saying that we have a second data point. The NATO Spanish intelligence agent who has a parallel congruent experience with a completed predicted sighting over New York. You can go and compare the videotapes of both sightings and judge for yourself whether those are genuine UFOs or blue beam holographic projections or, you know, TRB triangle ships of the black budget fleet. And they appear to be genuine interdimensional ships in both cases. That's why I took that trouble to present the full case at the beginning of the program.
And I thank you for that. So why, how is it that a NASA official gets away with being a whistleblower and is, unlike Stanley Fulham, still walking around?
NASA?
The NASA official. How does he get away with bringing this information forward?
Are you talking about the former NATO Spanish?
NATO. So sorry. NATO, yes.
Yeah. Well, he is a former NATO Spanish intelligence officer. He lives in Madrid, Spain. You can see our Exopolitics TV interview with him at exopolitics.com. You know, he wasn't irradiated. He hasn't been irradiated with pancreatic cancer the way that Stan Fulham was. He doesn't live in North America. He's a man probably in his mid-40s. So far, he's healthy and hasn't been bumped off. He's kind of a Project Camelot-type whistleblower. You know, he hasn't written a 350-page book, as Stan Fulham has, and hasn't worked on the case for 10 years. So it's just a different set of circumstances. Who knows what forces are targeting the intelligence officer? But all of this is being orchestrated by the dimensional forces, not by the 3D forces. It's the 3D forces that are trying to assassinate and bump off the messengers that have been chosen by the dimensional forces. In other words, Stan Fulham was a willing messenger of the dimensional forces. And at some point he got bumped off because the world press really picked up on it. When his book came out and they appeared over New York City on October 13th, that was world press. That was also probably when they took the gain button on the accelerator and started accelerating his cancer. And the Spanish person has so far, you know, I publicized it in the Examiner, examiner.com, but it hasn't hit, you know, the New York Times. Now, a reporter from Stars and Stripes is they're going back and forth, but he says, well, I'm a skeptic, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen there. In other words, it hasn't hit the mainstream. So he hasn't become that much of a threat to the false matrix, which is run by the 3D dark forces.
But on the other hand, won't you agree that they're getting ready for disclosure and that leaks, these are probably more, wouldn't be classified as leaks, is it still so controlled, they don't want the information to get out, or are they allowing top officials to grease people?
There's disclosure, right?
Right.
Suppose that the planners in the people that are trying to do, quote, disclosure, which is like a modified limited hangout during Watergate, okay? Mm-hmm. You You remember Watergate, right?
Yes, I'm of the generation.
Okay, good. And they say, well, look, let's just give this little leaky thing out, right? And we'll say, you know, what the heck? Nobody knows anything anyway, right? And the only people who are going to yell and scream are the ufologists and the exopoliticians and the bloggers, and they don't matter anyway, okay? And along comes the Galactic Council, and they say, wait a minute, folks, your ecology is about to collapse, and you're still playing these games? You know? You're crazy.
That's right.
That's what Stanley Fullam is saying, and that's what the NATO Spanish intelligence agent is saying, and that's the message that we're putting out at exopolitics.com, and that's what the truth is. So, and that's the message that is going to be validated. Now, it is a very difficult message to get across, because it's a working hypothesis. My estimation is that there will not be a showing over the next week in Russia, and that this thing will kind of like go underground. But there has been a worldwide wave, and a wave in Russia in December and in January, because people from Russia are sending me sighting reports, you know, from Eastern Russia, you know, from different parts of the country, right? So this is an information war. It's one that is that to make these very specific predictions is really a dicey game, but it's one that's being played between the dimensional forces and the third dimension dark forces, or the third dimension matrix forces, and we in the exopolitical community are trying to make sense of it and to alert the population as best as we can.
All right. What can you tell us about what Stanley Fullam said the intervention would involve when you talk about clearing the... Because there is no question the ecological point of breaking point on this planet has been reached. And we have the thousands upon thousands of birds dropping out of the air. We think it might be chemtrails. We think it might be HAARP. We've heard about the poisonous gases and that hypothesis. I'd like you to elaborate, if you can, what you know about that. And you don't have to each time say it's a hypothesis, because we don't have that much time on air. But how do you see that in regards? How do you see that in regards to the point of intervention to assist us in the ecological crisis we are now in?
You know, I'm really, really sorry. I don't understand your question.
My question is, you speak of Stanley Fullam saying there will be intervention from the Galactic Council, from forces beyond, to assist us in this ecological devastation that we're now in on planet Earth.
Yeah, yeah. Basically,
can you tell us some of the information? Yeah. Is there more information about how that will transpire?
Yeah, yeah. What will transpire is that on or before 2014, there will be, what they are seeking is a world speech in the United Nations by the Pleiadians, probably, to explain the ecological situation to the world population. And in 2015, the start of the cleansing of the Earth's ecology, with about 250 to 300 ships in the Earth's environment using technology to clean the atmosphere and the biosphere. And between now and 2014, a major collapse in the world financing system and the emergence of a new more sustainable way of living on the planet?
Well, I don't mean to be a pessimist, but I wonder if we're going to have to wait till 2015, how much more drastic it's going to get.
Okay,
what
well,
are your insights?
This is what Stan Fullam's last communication was. There'll be major UFO display over Moscow between the end of the first part of January 2011 and the second week of January 2011. This display will be followed by a major display over London approximately 7 days later. Interventions will then accelerate, not so much over our cities, but dispersed over our continents, with sightings increasing in duration. The intent of these interventions is to increase mankind's acceptance of the alien phenomena, so that hopefully we'll be prepared to accept a face-to-face encounter and communicate, perhaps as early as next year, 2011. The objective is a dramatic introduction of the alien reality, an appearance at the United Nations. The alien intervention process will provide a philosophical challenge to mankind as nothing has ever done. It will challenge our most fundamental beliefs. Did Christ teach to this extraterrestrial world? Are they aware of Allah and his hatred for the heathens and infidels, which of course must include the aliens? They also have souls. Do they have any religion or spiritualism? The UFO intervention process will have a major impact on the U.S. and Russian governments. They will be the catalyst that break the conspiracy of silence. Ufologists can then divert their focus to the challenges the new alien technologies will bring to mankind. Due to my declining health, this may be my last writing on the subject. In the meantime, I wish all my readers and ufologist supporters the very best in their work. Stanley A. Fullam, December 3rd, 2010.
Okay, thank you for that. I'm going to open it up for questions now. We have very little time left. If you're listening and you'd like to ask Alfred a question about what he's brought forward today, you can call in on 888-815-9756. That's toll-free in U.S. and Canada. 888-815-9756. We've got about 10 minutes left, so please feel free to call in. And Alfred, if you're speaking and I get a signal that we've got a caller, I will interrupt you so that we can grab the caller's question. All right. Before, has the time flown. And that's another whole area I'd like to discuss with you, not only time travel, but how the time lines are merging, how time is the illusion of time, how time is rapidly shifting, and that we're all feeling it. Do you want to discuss that at all, or do you think we can approach that subject with a 10-minute limitation?
Well, yeah. Basically, what various whistleblowers have shown, principally my colleague Andy Bishago, is that we exist in a time-space hologram. And so therefore, the technology of time travel has been developed using Tesla technology to transport via vortal tunnels persons or things, goods, from one point in the time-space hologram, say A, B, C, D, to another point in the time-space hologram, say E, F, Y, G. And it's technological, and it's like dialing up. You know, you're at this point, and you dial up that you want to go to E, F, Y, G, and you're teleported through this vortal tunnel, and you're teleported to that point. And it's refined to a point now. We know from whistleblowers that it's routinely done in interplanetary travel. So much so that it's now sort of the subject of a public acclimation program, television program called Stargate, where people can tune into the Stargate television program, and they learn all about this army units that go to different planets through Stargates, and they go to different time frames. And the very first episode of Stargate was called Project Pegasus. And Project Pegasus was the secret name of the secret DARPA, U.S. Defense Advanced Project Research Agency, that Advanced Research Projects Agency, that developed Tesla technology, quantum access, teleportation, and time travel between 1968 and 1972 during the Richard Nixon White House, with Donald H. Rumsfeld as the cabinet officer in charge of the program. And one of the results of the program is that that time travel program had images of the planes hitting the Twin Towers on September 11th, 2001. They had those in 1971. And the man in charge of that program was Donald H. Rumsfeld, who was Secretary of Defense on September 11th, 2001, sitting across in his office across from the Pentagon, from where a cruise missile hit the Navy records section where all of the Navy investigation was going on the disappearance of the $2 to $3 trillion in black budget funds that Rumsfeld announced the day before 9/11, had said $2 to $3 trillion of monies are missing, and then the next day a cruise missile hit it that they said was a Boeing, was a commercial jetliner, because 9/11 was a psyops. It was done through advanced technology. And people can go to my Examiner articles, examiner.com, and show where we show Andrew Bisciago saw images in 1971 of the planes hitting the Twin Towers. And those are the images that Donald Rumsfeld showed, and probably the forward planning of 9/11 happened. The false flag operation started in 1971.
What kind of images? Photo type images or holographic images or what? What are you talking about?
Yeah. These are images which were sent from a forward time base of the DARPA project in 2045 back to 1971, and they were images of the planes hitting the Twin Towers, which were taken off of the newsreels and the newspapers of the day in 2001. That's when the forward planning of that event could have started. And by the time of that event, we show that multiple advanced black budget technologies are used. In fact, there's a black budget UFOs, which is used, which has holographic technology to disguise itself as airliners. There's quantum access time travel, which was used. There's fourth generation mini nukes, which were used. And that's how the psyops of 9/11 was carried off. And we have a proposal in there.
I have to interrupt you because we are at the end of time and quite eloquently synchronistic.
You're at the end of time is right.
I knew it was not smart to try to introduce such a profound discussion with such a limited time.
Hey, people have the right even to a little bit of information.
The question is not how much information I want to bring through this show. There is no limit to bringing through whatever is supposed to come or coming from the guest. But the problem is the clock, which on radio is limiting. So the best thing we can do, Alfred, is have you come back on for a part two, and we'll just take it up from here.
Beautiful.
Okay, because surely we didn't even scratch the surface of so many things that I would have hoped we could discuss, and we'll just have to have you back on.
Great.
So, okay, I'm so regretful that I've got to say goodbye to Andrew. This is one of the problems about working in this vein. It's just like you'd want to sit here for hours upon hours and really go deep with such completely intense information, as many of you are familiar with, but certainly you're going to be hearing more and more of it in this critical time of shifting. So thank you, Andrew. I will be in touch with you to get you back. And thank you for what you brought forward today on Beyond the Matrix. Okay, everybody.
It's Alfred, but thanks.
What did I say, Albert? Oh, that just goes to show you that you've jungled up my brain with all we've discussed. And for all of you, you can imagine what this means to me, having been a channel and bringing you through the same information from 10 years ago that's coming out now. So please don't forget to read the Syrian Revelations. We now have 10 different books out of different subjects, not all of them channeled, but certainly remember that the HAARP and the chemtrail information came out at least 10 years ago in Atlantis Rising. So please pick those up. Check my site, SyrianRevelations.net. Don't forget to check Alfred's site, exopolitics.com, where you can just go crazy on all these different fields that he's into. And keep your head up high. It's looking pretty dark out there, but the light will prevail. And yes, siree, if we're going to have assistance, I love the idea that we're not asking for a savior, but we are ready for some support here because we're not managing it. It's too intense. So come on, light beings, come on down and give us your support. And let's end the orphanage on planet Earth and take our role in the greatest of all imaginable realities. And that is being part of the great galaxy of life, the multiverse filled with intelligent life. This is our destiny as citizens of this time on this planet. I send you my love and light. This is Patricia Corey signing out for the moment, reminding you, daring you to think outside the box of convention. And with that, I say ciao, ciao. By the way, I'm a guest on Coast to Coast AM, Monday, 11 p.m. for a three-hour interview. So tune in and tell your friends. It's quite an exciting thing to be able to talk with George Noory. Okay, everyone, I will talk to you next week. Nanu, nanu. Bye-bye.